the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last day it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. There was something like fire and wind and a loud noise that day. It was a mighty rushing wind, a very mighty rushing wind, not a nice gentle breeze on a beach. Think of a tornado. Think of gale force winds. And then there was a flame, there was fire, flames that divided and rested on each of the apostles. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that day of Pentecost long ago. I am talking about 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles who had come together, just as Jesus had promised. It is a day that the Holy Spirit actually rushed into human history like never before with a startling suddenness that was impossible to miss. The crowds who were around, they heard and felt the roar of wind, and they came rushing together to see what had just happened, utterly confused about what had happened. And what did they find? They found the Tower of Babel reversed. Yes, the confusion of Babel had been reversed. In our Old Testament lesson from this morning, we read about mankind coming together at a place called Babel. Mankind had gathered from all across the land together to build a city for themselves and to make a name for themselves. The people who had gathered were prideful and they were egotistical. God had called mankind to multiply and to fill the whole earth, but not these people. Nope, none of them. They were going to stay put, and they were going to make a name for themselves by building their own buildings and their own city, not to glorify God, but to glorify themselves. It was about glory to man in the highest. As a result, it should not surprise us that God intervened with judgment. He cursed them by twisting their tongues and giving them a bunch of different languages. Yes, he foiled their plans, their egotistical and prideful plans, by confusing the language. He actually applied a divine judgment upon them. There's no doubt about it that this indeed caused confusion and suspicion and even hatred among the people. Since the Tower of Babel, we have also had confusion as well in our society and our world. Confusion of language that has led to mankind being humbled ever since. The confusion of language has broken and driven mankind into disorder and weakness. Now, I mention all of this because God cursed the people at the Tower of Babel because they were coming together in the name of mankind. However, in today's reading from the book of Acts, we hear the exact reversal of Babel, where the apostles were given the ability to proclaim about Jesus in languages that they had never learned. Instead of language dividing people, this person over here from that person over there, the people from all nations heard each of the apostles speaking and testifying clearly about the great works of God. And each person heard them preaching in their own language, just like native speakers. The confusion of language was undone for the sake of salvation and for unifying mankind, not in the name of themselves, but in the name of Jesus. Now, when some in the crowd tried to explain away this mighty miracle of the Spirit by saying they were babbling because they drank too much wine, well, Peter, he took to the pulpit, and he began to preach and set things right, as Peter typically does. There's no doubt about it that day that the Spirit was present in Peter's preaching as he charged the Jews with the guilt in Christ's suffering and death on the cross, and yet showed how by the Father's eternal plan that the death of Christ was overturned and that he was raised and exalted to the Father's right hand as one who pours out the Spirit. By the time Peter was done, the crowds, they were actually in a panic. The Spirit's witness had convicted them. You heard the part of Peter's sermon in our reading from the book of Acts this morning, but a little further on, we hear the results of Peter's preaching, that bold preaching to that crowd that day, and it's this. Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's answer. His answer is one of the most comforting of all of Scripture. He doesn't give them a list of to-dos they need to perform before God, before God will forgive them. No, he says something completely contrary. Listen to this. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" My friends, that's it. "Turn," he says, "towards the Lord and receive what he wants to give you in the waters of baptism." That is forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. Peter lets them know that this gift isn't just for some of them, but it is for all of them. "Let every one of you be baptized," he says. "The promise is for you and for your children, for all." And then no less than 3,000 people took him up on that invitation on that Pentecost day. Some 3,000 people. They ended up in the water where their sins were washed away and the Spirit of God was given to them. A profound miracle indeed. So even though on Pentecost morning The Holy Spirit arrived with a mighty rushing wind and what seemed to be fireworks. By that afternoon, he was entering people's lives in a far less spectacular way. In fact, in the way that we would say is ordinary, through holy baptism. In other words, only some of the people got the pyrotechnic display of the wind and the fire, but some 3,000 received the exact same Spirit with the splash of water and the power of the Word, just like you received the Holy Spirit and just like I received the Holy Spirit in our baptisms. Now, my friends, do you realize what this means? It means that the day that you were baptized was your personal Pentecost. It was the day that your life was turned around. It was the day that the forgiveness which Jesus Christ won on his cross for the whole world was given to you as your very own. It was the day that the Holy Spirit himself was poured into your life by the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. That means the Holy Spirit has been given to you. He is a complete and total gift to you. That, my friends, is why we're filled with joy this Pentecost Sunday. To us who could never believe on our own, never come to faith in Jesus by all of our own struggling and striving, to our Lord Jesus Christ, he has actually sent us a helper so that we might believe. He has sent the one who not only gives faith, but keeps us in the faith and strengthens that faith until our last hour comes. And then our helper will not leave us. No way. He will not leave us in death. He will sustain us through death and bring us with Christ into the life everlasting that never ends. He will be the one who raises our bodies from the dead and transfigures them into new bodies, the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. So, dear friends, what does this all mean? It means this. The Spirit poured out upon the chosen apostles on that Pentecost day has also landed on you. It happened in your baptisms, just like it did for those 3,000 some 2,000 years ago. Your baptism is your personal Pentecost, and there is even more above and beyond that as well. Jesus Christ just does not pour out his Spirit once and that's all, not at all. A couple chapters later in the book of Acts, we hear that Luke records that they were together in a house and the Holy Spirit descended upon them once again. In other words, you receive the Holy Spirit and all of him, and yet there's always more for you. Your Lord wants to keep pouring the Spirit into you, not just through your baptism, but through your hearing of the very Word of God, where he is always at work to strengthen your faith. And then through the supper, where the Spirit's power, by the Spirit's power, Christ feeds you with his body and his blood, constantly renewing the forgiveness of sins in each and every one of you. Because the Spirit is the gift of Christ, we are kept on giving to. He keeps on giving to us. The Holy Church rejoices this day, and it cries out over again and again, year after year, Pentecost after Pentecost, in hymns of praise and prayer to the blessed third person of the Trinity, who we receive fresh, anew, each and every day, each and every Sunday, for the Lord is good to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.